Welcome to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. And now, experience the good life today.
Aloha from Honolulu, Hawaii. I'm Danny Yamashiro. Welcome to The Good Life. We're here to help unleash your God-given purpose. R.K. Castillo began traveling as a missionary evangelist when he was 18 years old. For over a decade, he ministered to crowds in stadiums around the world. This brought him to every continent except Antarctica, where he was able to not only lead people to Jesus, but train up local believers to find their part in God's plan to transform the nations. Today, he is pastoring a church among the homeless in Waikiki and training young people how to effectively do evangelism and heal the sick. As an evangelist, as a missionary, it would resound with him, resonating in his heart, to communicate with you the love of Christ, that he who loves you so much, God whose heart yearns for you, my friend, if you don't know him, for you to know that he loves you so much, he died on the cross. He sent his son Jesus to die on the cross for your sins, to shed his precious blood on that cross, to wash your sins away. Jesus was buried, and 3 days later, he rose again from the grave. And the living Christ today calls you to himself. And he sends R.K. Castillo in studio to share a heart-to-heart story of his life, out of his life, with the hopes of you drawing closer to the Lord. Would you open your heart to Jesus? It is our prayer that you would indeed do so. R.K., welcome to our show.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
So you traveled around the world for over 10 years. Who did you do it with, and what was it like?
Yeah, so I worked with a group called Team Extreme with Youth with a Mission, or YWAM, as we call it. And so we were a group of strongmen. You know, we did breaking bricks and tearing phone books and blowing up hot water bottles, flipping over cars. And, you know, it's interesting when you start doing things like this, a crowd of people will come around. So that's what we did. It was just our evangelistic tool to talk to the lost.
Some kind of hook.
Yeah.
A big hook. An effective and sharp hook. How did you get into doing those kinds of strength feats?
So I was 5 years old and I saw the movie Top Gun for the first time. And my entire life, I had always wanted to join the military. You know, that was my entire life plan. It was my entire life goal. And when I got into high school, I decided I wanted to be Rambo. You know, I wanted to travel around and
Johnny Rambo,
see the world and shoot people, you know, whatever Rambo does. So I was talking to the Marine Corps recruiter since I was 14 years old, you know, just that was my plan in life. My senior year in high school, or my junior year in high school, as a wrestler, I tore ligaments in my knee. And so knee surgery is a disqualification from the military. So the Marine Corps recruiter came up with this plan to get me in between my junior and senior year before I had the knee surgery. So I was going to enlist in between my junior and senior year, have the knee surgery, recover during my senior year in high school, and as soon as I graduated high school, go off to basic training and play Rambo. The only problem was the day that I was supposed to actually go in and enlist, I got arrested the night before and I was in jail. So when I got out of jail, the recruiter says, hey, now we got to wait till after your surgery and after you recover, and then we can see if you can actually join the Marine Corps or not. So the time came when I could finally pass the test, you know, after I did my physical therapy and everything on my knee, and they disqualified me. They said, there's no way we can let you in. I'm sorry. You know, and that had been my plan and my goal for, you know, 12, 13 years of my life. Growing up, that was always what I was going to do.
Well, you know, you say it with a smile. You say it with a, you know, you say it in a compelling way. It sounds to me, RK, like, I mean, since you were planning for all those years, there was possibly, I want you to confirm this, a certain level of heartbreak.
No,
it was... Dream not becoming real.
Yeah, it was, I mean, talk about a dream dying. That's exactly what happened. This is my senior year in high school, probably around March or April of my senior year. All my friends had already applied for scholarships, got into universities or colleges, and I had never done any of that because it was always my plan to join the military. And so, you know, I'm sitting there broken before God saying, well, what in the world am I supposed to do with my life? This has been my life plan since I was a little kid. And so I'm praying and praying and praying. And it was probably that weekend or the next weekend after that, I went to my youth group, and I happened to see this group of strong guys ripping phone books and bending bars and breaking bricks. And when I saw them, I said, oh, that's what I'm supposed to do with my life. So I went up to them after their little performance was done, and I said, hey, what do I got to do to join your team? And they said, well, you know, you got to go do this school, and then after you do the school, you can join our team full time. I said, absolutely, sign me up. So I signed up for Youth with a Mission, or YWAM. It's the second largest mission organization in the world. And Team Extreme was just a branch out of YWAM that did mass evangelism, you know, around the world.
So instead of going to the Marines basic training, you went to DTS.
Yeah, exactly, exactly.
Discipleship Training School.
Discipleship Training School. And the funny thing is, I didn't know what YWAM was. I didn't know what DTS was. All I knew is this is what I had to go through to be able to do what God is calling me to do.
How did you become a Christian?
So I was, you know, 13, 14 years old, starting getting involved in all this stuff that you shouldn't do, doing a lot of drugs, partying. I started getting involved in satanic worship and witchcraft, and, you know, all it led to was depression, anger, frustration. I wanted to kill my life. I would literally sit in my room with razor blades and just cut myself because I didn't know how to deal with the pain that I had inside of me. And my stepmom at the time, she saw what was going on with me. She says, this kid needs some help. And, you know, we didn't grow up in a Christian family. You know, we went to church maybe once a year, twice a year, Easter and Christmas, right? And it was always, you just go there, you got to stand up and sit down. You just want the old guy to stop talking so you can go home and eat, right? Mm. So they sent me up to this church camp up in the mountains in New Mexico. And it was the first time I heard the real story about Jesus, you know, that he's not a dead guy on the cross anymore. He's alive. You know, since he's alive, you can actually have a relationship with him, and it can be real and dynamic. It's not a religion. It's actually this relationship with this guy who actually loves you. He cares about you. And I said, man, that's way better than what I'm doing with my life right now. And so I said, you know, I'm going to follow you. I'm going to do it. And all it led to, well, it transformed my life. But I did that roller coaster Christianity thing where, you know, I would be all excited about Jesus for a month or two, and then I'd go back to my old way of living and, you know, go back to another conference or a church camp, you know, and then get all excited in the last couple months. And so I was doing this up and down, you know, roller coaster Christianity, excited about Jesus, going back.
Yo-yo Christianity.
Exactly. And then one day I got it in this argument with a girlfriend I had at the time, and I was so angry I went and sat up on top of this hill just to try and calm down. And as I was sitting up there, I had a vision, and to this day, I don't know how to explain it, but it was like in an instant, I saw how every single person I had ever loved had hurt me, but how Jesus was there every single time. He was the only faithful friend that I had that would be there for me 100% of the time. And when I saw that that's what Jesus is actually like, I said, you know what? From now on, it's just going to be you and me, Jesus. All this other stuff doesn't matter. You're the only faithful friend I have. And so to this day, you know, I know that every single person I love can hurt me, but that's okay because Jesus will always be there for me. He'll never leave you. He'll always be there for me 100% of the time, faithful to me. And so I said, when I saw that God is actually faithful like that, I said, man, you're worth following. You're worth giving everything for.
And you made a choice. You made a choice. So you took the step of faith to connect and become part of YWAM's mass evangelism team.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, what was it like to travel with them and to be in front of large crowds? Give us a sense of, you know, how many people, how many times, what was your traveling schedule? Like, how many days of the year were you on the road?
We were traveling probably about 220 days out of the year. So 8 months out of the year, we were gone somewhere on the road. We always said the home was a nice place to visit. And, you know, so we would go.
Let's visit home.
Yeah, right. So we would go to a new area, say, you know, we went to Fiji or New Zealand or India or Africa, wherever we would go. And we would do about 3 to 6 week tour. And while we were there, we would do at least the major cities around the area where we were at. We would do a stadium event in each one of those areas. And, you know, so in Fiji, we probably did 27 of them. And so that took us a couple months to do. And, I mean, there's thousands of people there every single night. And, you know, it's one of those things that's really amazing to be able to just tell people how good God is. You just thousands of people a year, you know, thousands and thousands of people a year. It's a real blessing.
What was your specialty of strength feet?
We all kind of, in our team, everyone did everything.
Okay.
The only thing I couldn't do was we pulled a V8 engine out of a Camaro, welded some bars on it, and the big strong guys would bench press it on a bed of nails, you know? So I couldn't bench press the engine, but everything else I could do.
How many on the team?
You know, now we have, I think, about 20 teams around the world, 20 Team Extremes around the world. So I was a part of Team Extreme International based out of Kansas City, Missouri. And, you know, we have all these other teams. So there's a good amount of guys around the world.
And how much on a team?
It could be anywhere from 5 to 10 to more. So when we're traveling, we try to travel with, you know, about as much guys as can fit in a 15-passenger van, you know, and their families. That was a good thing. We almost all of us traveled with our families.
R.K. Castillo, how often do you get a chance to hear someone who can, you know, just tear a telephone book apart, can lift a car, can compel or capture the attention of thousands as part of a team who will come to see amazing things done. You know, RK, I sometimes think it would be quite amusing to be the guy who thinks about the feet. Hey, let's try this. Mm-hmm. Let's try to pull out a V8 engine and bench press it on a bed of nails. What kind of mind puts together some complexity of that kind of capacity to do something like that? R.K. Castillo is a pastor today in Waikiki, ministering to the homeless. When we come back, he'll share more about his journey. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky, leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
One of Hawaii's premier golf tournaments is right around the corner.
Friday, June 19th.
Jesus Christ is Calling You Evangelistic Ministry
presents the 18th annual Call to Hope Golf Tournament at Pearl Country Club.
Each year, golfers converge for a day of fun, healthy competition, great food, fellowship, and fabulous prizes. Enter your team today. Visit jccy.org to register.
Teams are filling fast. Register today.
Learn about special sponsorships at jccy.org. See why golfers return year after year.
Friday, June 19th.
Register at jccy.org.
Active lifestyles are promoted for healthy living. This involves exercise and a range of sporting activities. There are times, though, when injuries take place resulting from sports, work, or even the effects of age. In some cases, surgical care is necessary to facilitate proper healing. That's the time to call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, with offices at both Palimomi and Kuakini. Dr. Calvin Oishi has treated patients with the compassion, care, and expertise second to none. Call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, 484-2042. 484-2042. There was a time when filling up your gas tank was a full-service experience. The attendant would look under your hood, check your oil and water, check your tires, and wipe your windows, all while your tank's being filled. Burt's Union Service Station on School Street still does it. They also provide auto repair services with master mechanics to give your car the needed fixing to keep it going a long time, so your dollars stretch with a lasting, smoothly running vehicle. Visit them today. Burt's Union on School Street.
You're listening. listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
I mean, you think about, you've seen or may have heard about these large-scale evangelistic crusades. You may know very well about Billy Graham and the many, many, many millions and millions of people that God has used him to reach. I mean, it harkens back to the days of the great Billy Sunday, and before him, the D.L. Moody's, and before the D.L. Moody's, you got the Charles Grandison Finneys, and Jonathan Edwards, and George Whitfield, and the great revivalists, the awakening, the first and second awakenings, and the evangelistic crusades throughout. Nowadays, you hear of Greg Laurie, and Luis Palau, and so many others whom I look up to, and have learned much from, and I think they are indeed stalwarts, worthy of great admiration and respect for what God has done through them and how they've allowed and then been submissive to the Lord's leading. But I've got a story. Well, not me. My guest, R.K. Castillo, has a story about the ministry that he's done. But there's a deeper message to it, not to diminish anything really, but to give us a deeper understanding. And you say, Danny, okay, let's get back to RJ because you're beginning to speak in cryptic terms. Uh-huh. Well, R.K. Castillo, tell us about what your experience was like. How many teams? Give us the story of Mark Anderson.
Right. So Mark Anderson was the one who started the ministry called Impact World Tour. And Impact World Tour consisted of us, the Team Extreme guys, another group from the Big Island called Island Breeze, and another group called GX International, which is a group of skateboarders, rollerbladers, hip-hop dancers, breakdancers. And so the three teams, we would travel around the world and do these, you know, 3 or 4 day events in cities around the world. But it was all started by Mark Anderson because he looked at the different crusades, Billy's crusades and like that, and noticed that it was a bunch of white-haired people going to these events, not a lot of young people. So he wanted to create an event that young people would be willing to go to. And so, you know, we would go in and we do school assemblies all throughout the week before our big performance, inviting all the students to come. And you know, the big events were focused on and reaching young people.
Stadium events.
Yeah, stadium events, reaching young people. So one day Mark Anderson was in a meeting with all the big evangelists, Billy and Greg Laurie and Luis Palau, and you know, they were going around and said, oh, you know, Billy guy said, oh, we did 4, you know, Greg Laurie, we did 2 events, stadium events, right? And then it came to Mark Anderson. He said, oh, I did like about 157. And they're thinking, what, how in the world did you do 157 events? He says, well, because it's not about the messenger, it's about the message. And so basically what he realized is he couldn't do what he needed to do to reach the world. So he needed to multiply himself and other evangelists. And so he raised up young guys like me or skateboarders or break dancers or, you know, hula dancers. So he raised them up and taught them, this is the message of the gospel. Now go and preach it. And essentially that's how he's able to do 150, you know, outreaches a year.
Before our break, you mentioned that there are, I think you mentioned 20 teams of strength teams,
right,
that are going around. So now when this, you talk about Mark, and in that particular encounter, it was the three, right, Island Breeze,
GX, or, and Team Extreme.
And Team Extreme. But there are 20 Team Extremes now.
Yeah.
So it multiplied even more. What's the number of large-scale events that's happening now?
Well, there, you know, it's still, you know, about 8 months out of the year, there's outreaches going on somewhere in the world under the umbrella of Impact World Tour. So Team Extreme is like, you know, one of the events in a 3-night event that Impact World Tour is putting on.
How did you come to Hawaii?
So I was doing mass evangelism, like we're doing 8 months out of the year, and leading thousands of people to Jesus. And one day God spoke to me and said, you know what? You need to learn about discipleship. And so I said, well, One of the guys on Team Extreme ran discipleship training schools here in Honolulu, in Manoa Valley. And so I called him up and said, hey, is there a chance that I could come and work with you guys in discipleship training school? So I moved here in 2002 and started working with the discipleship training schools and working in the YWAM Manoa base.
How did you meet your wife, Kilike?
So, you know, funny story. God spoke to me and said, I don't want you to travel this year. That was 2005.
So this is after the 11 years.
Right in the middle of it. Yeah. So I didn't travel for one of those years. And I stayed here to work with the church. I used to work with Hope Chapel in Manoa. And one day, long story short, you know, we were doing an event in the park. The Christian Coalition would rent Kapi'olani Park, and our church rented one booth. And my wife, or then wasn't my wife, rented another booth, and they had a small business. And I went over to the booth, and right before I walked up to the booth, God spoke to her and said, this guy who is going to come up to you, this is your husband. And she never really heard the voice of God before, definitely not telling her that this is her husband. And she doesn't know in YWAM this is illegal to do. You don't ever tell someone that God said that you're my husband or wife, right? Mm. So she didn't know what to do. She talked to her sister about it, and they were trying to concoct ways that we can be in the same room at the same time and maybe talk to each other or something, because I never met her before, you know? And so finally, she said, just give me his phone number. I was friends with her sister. And she called me up. She said, hey, I'm going to this Bible study. I'm wondering if you wanted to come. Went to the Bible study afterwards, walked out, and started asking me these questions. I said, well, what is going on with you? What do you think is going on? She says, well, before you came up to our booth, I felt like God said that you're my husband. I said, well, I can't give you a yes or no. I don't even know you. And, you know, as a young man, I created a list of what I wanted in a spouse, and I would pray for it every day. Every day I had an alarm on my phone that would go off, and I would pray over this list of what I wanted in a spouse. And in the beginning, my list was like, has to be good looking and a good Christian, you know? But then the group I traveled with, all the girls were good looking and good Christians. And so I realized, okay, I need to make a better list, you know? And so I had some specific stuff on my list. And so I said, I wonder if this lady is actually the things that are on my list or not. And so I called her the next week and said, hey, let's, I call it mullet hunting. You ever been mullet hunting, Danny?
No, I haven't. What is that?
You know, the mullet haircut, right?
Yeah.
Business in the front, party in the back. So we would go down to Waikiki and we would find people with mullet haircuts. And you have the person stand by the person with the mullet and you take a picture of them. We call it mullet hunting.
Okay.
That was our first unofficial official date, was mullet hunting in Waikiki. So, but anyways, a month into it, we were engaged. A year later, we got married. 2 days after we got married, we moved to the mainland to continue our work with Team Extreme.
So she was with you in the second phase, mm-hmm, of your work with Team Extreme. What was it like traveling together as a married couple?
Oh, you know, my poor wife, I sent her into the ringer, you know. Traveling 8 months out of the year, when we're on the road, we're working 16 hours a day, you know, 6 days a week. And, you know, it's not only hard on your body, you know, physically, but it's also you're in a spiritual battle, you know, going into new areas, doing evangelism, you know, destroying the works of the devil. And so our first year we traveled 220 days. We slept in 33 different beds. We visited 4 countries and 10 states in the United States. And so it was definitely
and
fun.
And that's 1 year.
That was 1 year. Year one. That's what we did. So it was definitely fun, but it was challenging.
RK, have you experienced, as a missionary, going into a new country and sensing the atmosphere, the spiritual atmosphere? And you're nodding, obviously, so you have. But I want to drill down a little further. In terms of the atmosphere, the spiritual climate atmosphere, and how it compares with other countries. Because after a decade worth of traveling like that, I wonder, you know, if you developed a certain acute sensitivity to different kinds of spiritual influences in different areas.
Yeah, have absolutely. You? Yeah, and it's not just in the nations, it's in cities. And it can even be broken down into neighborhood levels as well. So what I actually realized is we would get into a new city or new area, and I would find myself struggling with different things in the different areas. And I realized that that was God giving me insight into the stronghold in the area. So one area I might go in, and for no reason I would feel depressed or discouraged, you know. Go into another area and I would find myself with a short temper, getting angry easy, you know. Go into another area dealing with, you know, sexual immorality and whatnot. And so what I realized is it's not that I'm failing. It's God has given me insight into the spiritual stronghold. And I think one of the main ways Jesus taught us to do spiritual warfare when we get into new areas is come in the opposite spirit. You know, he said, turn the other cheek, go the extra mile. So I would ask myself, I get into a new area, figure out, okay, this is what's going on. There's a depression, discouraging type of spirit here. So I would say, what's the opposite of discouragement? It's encouragement, right? So I would make a very specific effort to go and try and encourage as many people as I could so I can come in the opposite spirit of that thing, so I can overcome the power of the enemy in that city and have authority, so that when we actually do proclaim the gospel, it's not falling on deaf ears because we've overcome, you know, that thing that's going on in that area.
Would you collaborate with the other members of the team? Hey, I'm sensing this, I'm feeling this. How do you guys feel? Would you guys do that?
Yeah, absolutely. And we would travel with intercessors as well, who their main job was to get in this area and find out what's going on and kind of, you know, let us know so that we can be prepared and deal with this thing. So I remember specifically a time when we were in Australia. We got to a place where as we began to pray, we realized that this area has a thing where they're abusing women. And so what we did is we got the women in our team. We would always have a team prayer time before our events, and we brought the women in the inside, and we began to affirm them and bless them, you know, coming in the opposite spirit of what's going on in that area. And I remember a real significant spiritual breakthrough in that area after we did this kind of prophetic, you know, act of honoring the women instead of abusing them. And in that, it released really, really powerful that night of people getting saved and healed and delivered.
You think of strength feats that they would do with Team Impact, you know, breaking baseball bats, bending metal bars, tearing phone books, lifting heavy objects. Those are physical feats. But to communicate a spiritual message, R.K. Castillo is explaining what goes on beyond just performing, much deeper. In doing evangelism, in reaching people and proclaiming the gospel, there are spiritual, it's a spiritual combating that goes on, a different level of spiritual sensitivity, which he articulates. When we come back, we'll talk about more. There's a certain level of discernment that goes in to these things. It's an acumen, a skill. In the spiritual realm, you can't see it, but you see the effects of it. The wind blows where it wishes. You hear the sound of it, but you don't know where it comes from or where it is going. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. When we come back, just what Jesus said, those words, R.K. Castillo will explain more. Stay with us.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky. Leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Have you heard the stories on the Good Life Hawaii radio show with Danny Amashiro and his guests?
Yup, I listen to Danny's show every day. Those testimonies inspire me in my life at work, with my family, and in my relationship with God.
Did you ever visit thegoodlifehawaii.com? There's all kinds of resources there. Danny Amashiro has interviewed hundreds of guests on subjects like parenting, business, relationships, depression, overcoming addiction, hope, and so much more.
As a matter of fact, I have. Did you know there are videos where Danny prays for your family, your finances, even a video I've used to help lead my friends to Christ?
Wow. And I hear Danny is offering special opportunities and benefits for his Good Life Partnership Club members.
Yep. Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com and remember to connect with Danny on Facebook. Follow him on Twitter, too. That's Danny Amashiro.
I'm going to visit thegoodlifehawaii.com today.
A healthy smile can make all the difference, but where do you go for healthy teeth? Dr. Kerry Ishihara is a specialist in general dentistry in Wahiawa. With more than 20 years of experience, Dr. Ishihara serves the people of Wahiawa, including a special focus on military families. As a lieutenant colonel in the U.S. Army Reserves, he understands the needs of soldiers and families in our military community. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is proud to have Dr. Kerry Ishihara as an anchor sponsor. Call him at 621-8281. That's 621-8281.
Do you need a specialist in cosmetic dentistry? Someone who can bring the best in you from the inside out. Let Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa help you. His warmth, compassion, and expertise provides all the assurance needed for your dental needs. Visit Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry in Kaneohe. Call him at 235-4525 to make an appointment today. That's 235-4525. Or visit jeffmiyazawa.com. Windward Family Dentistry, where a lifetime of smiles is created.
In times of economic challenge, opportunities arise. All we need is someone to say, I believe in you. Michael Beasley, a senior executive of Kaiani Team Aloha, has seen Kaiani products improve the quality of people's lives. Michael Beasley says Kaiani's mission is to empower people globally to experience better health, wealth, and a lot of fun. Contact Michael Beasley at 277-9528. Live outside the 9-to-5 workday. Become the CEO of your own business while Kaiani handles the details. That's Michael Beasley at 277-9528. 277-9528. Active lifestyles are promoted for healthy living. There are times when injuries take place. In some cases, surgical care is necessary. That's the time to call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, with offices at both Palimomi and Kuakini. Call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi at 484-2042, 484-2042.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
Okay, so you wonder about what goes on in the invisible realm. Do you realize that there are things that go on that you and I cannot see? We just cannot see it. But they are just as real as though we were sitting across from each other shaking hands or eating lunch together. We could see it, feel it, taste it. There are things in the spiritual realm that we cannot see, but we can see the evidence of what's happening. When you travel across the world into different countries, nations, cities, communities, there are certain things that you can sense. R.K. Castillo has been a world missionary, traveled to every continent except Antarctica, and he's here to talk to us about what he learned and what he experienced traveling with Youth with a Mission, along with Team Impact, a team that does strength feats. He did that for 11 years. You're listening to The Good Life Radio Show. I'm Danny Yamashiro. Thank you for joining us today. And if you're listening, you want to hear the program in its entirety, maybe just tuning in right now, you can get the program at thegoodlifehawaii.com. And if you're enamored, as I am, with R.K. Castillo, find out more about him at churchinwaikiki.org. R.K., in the spirit realm, you mentioned things that you would sense, how you would counteract those forces, how you would see breakthroughs. How significant was the impact of the intercessors that traveled with you?
You know, many of us have heard about the International House of Prayer, right? That's based out of Kansas City. In 2004, IHOP, International House of Prayer, they partnered with Impact World Tour and Team Extreme, and they would intercede for us while we're on the road doing missions. So in 2004, our ministry took on the entire nation of New Zealand. So we did every major city in New Zealand. It took 4 months, and every single time we would be doing an event, the International House of Prayer would be interceding for us. And I think the amount of impact and miracles and signs and wonders and things like that we saw that happened in that trip in New Zealand, I think it was directly related to the intercessors praying and giving us insight into what we need to do and whatnot. And, you know, as you were talking, I was thinking, we look at the life of Jesus. If you just look at the story of how Jesus was born, the first couple years of Jesus' life, just the first few books, first few chapters of the book of Luke, and you look at how many times they saw angels. You know, Joseph had a dream where an angel came and visited him and told him to move to another country, and he left the next morning. You know, this spiritual life was normal for Jesus and at the time that Jesus was born, to interact with the spirits and the spiritual world, and not only that, but to take direction from those spirits, you know, and so I think it's one of those things that is very important that we realize that there's a physical world and there's a spiritual world, and the two are constantly interacting with one another. And we need to realize that there is a spiritual battle, and our enemy isn't just bad, he's evil, and he wants nothing more than to destroy us, to kill us, you know, and to kill and destroy those that we love and the people that are out there in the world. He wants nothing more than to destroy them. There's no good bone in his body. He wants nothing more than to ruin people's lives. And so it's our job to understand what's going on in the spirit, take a stand against him, and with the sword of the spirit, the word of God, proclaim the goodness of God and see the devil's works get destroyed.
RK, you're ministering today in a very important place in Hawaii, world-renowned place. God gives you these world-renowned type experiences. You're in world-famous Waikiki. What are you doing there?
Yeah, well, you know, we're traveling and, you know, speaking to thousands and having a good time. And then, again, God calls me and says, this is going to be your last year with Team Extreme, and I'm going to tell you what to do later. You know, so God ended up telling us that we need to move to Hawaii and start a church. And if you guys have ever done sort of any sort of itinerant ministry kind of thing, local church life is way different than, you know, traveling and stadium events and everything, right? Completely, totally different. So I talked with a pastor, a friend of mine on the mainland, said, hey, can I spend some time with you guys seeing how local church works? And then after some time with them, we moved back to Hawaii in 2011 to start a church in Waikiki. But we came here to Waikiki because in 2003, God spoke to me and said that one day people would come to Waikiki because they hear that Jesus is there, not just because it's Waikiki, Hawaii. My job at YWAM here in Honolulu was to take teams to do street evangelism. Every single week, we would take a YWAM team out to do street evangelism somewhere. And I always would go to Chinatown because I like working with the down-and-outers, the drug addicts, you know, the people on the streets. And so I was constantly taking people there. When God spoke to me about Waikiki, I switched my entire focus over to Waikiki and saying, God, how can we see Jesus made famous in this city? And I think Waikiki has been largely forgotten, avoided, kind of disdained by the local people. And so I say, how can we adopt the city and love it and realize how strategic Waikiki is for what happens in Hawaii, you know, in a spiritual level, in a natural level. And so we started taking teams to do outreach in Waikiki. So when God spoke to us to plant a church, in my mind, there was no other place that we'd rather be than in Waikiki. And as we came back here, we moved. I went on a 40-day fast to pray and ask God for direction of how we should do church in Waikiki. And during that time, I decided I was going to read the Bible in 40 days. If you ever want to do that, it's really a really, really powerful thing to do. It's 30 chapters a day, and you finish the Bible in 40 days. And when you're reading that much scripture, you're actually going to start seeing these kind of high-level themes, you know, because you're just, you're just taking all of this in. And what I kept on seeing over and over and over again was that whenever God would come, he would visit the least likely people you would think he was going to visit. You know, the very first people who heard about the Messiah being born, the one that they've been waiting for thousands of years. It wasn't the religious leaders who knew exactly what it was going to look like, where it was going to happen, you know, all that stuff. They came to the shepherds, the guys who were outside the city with the stinky sheep, and they see the angels and they come and they meet Jesus. You know, King David, when he's hiding in a tomb for his life, the people that rose up as giant killers, like King David. There's four giant killers in the Bible. There's David, and there's three others who were part of his mighty men. And when you look at who the mighty men were, they were the rejected of society, the outcast, you know, the people who owed people money. And those were the guys who gathered around David in the cave and then became these great mighty warriors. And I realized the forgotten people in Waikiki are the homeless down there. Disdained, owe people money, you know, dirty, you know. And so we went out there to start a church among the homeless in Waikiki.
What has it been like?
Oh, man, it's been an up and down battle. You know, we had a core group of people that was supposed to help us start the church. And within probably the first month that we got here, they all left. And so it was me and my wife and two little kids at the time. And we do ministry as a family. And so my little kids are hanging out with homeless people all the time. You know, it's what we do.
I have a question. I hope it's not too personal. When we come back, I'm wondering if you could answer it. And maybe it'll help frame the gist of what you're doing. Basically, the question is, and we don't have time to answer it right now when we come back from our break, but why did the team leave? Why did those core people who are going to start with you, why did they leave? Sometimes we wonder about that. We thought we had plans. We thought we were going to move forward together. We thought we understood the vision. I don't know about you, but sometimes I've experienced that. Have you? You thought we all were on the same page. We're all moving in the same direction. We had the same resolve. Mm-hmm. When we come back, R.K. Castillo will tell us more and more. Stay with us. We'll be back.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky. Leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
One of Hawaii's premier golf tournaments is right around the corner.
Friday, June 19th.
Jesus Christ is Calling You Evangelistic Ministry
presents the 18th annual Call to Hope Golf Tournament at Pearl Country Club.
Each year, golfers converge for a day of fun, healthy competition, great food, fellowship, and fabulous prizes. Enter your team today. Visit jccy.org to register.
Teams are filling fast. Register today.
Learn about special sponsorships at jccy.org. See why golfers return year after year.
Friday, June 19th.
Register at jccy.org.
Hi, this is Danny Yamashiro. Many people tell me how the Good Life Hawaii radio show has made a difference in their lives, how they've shared our free podcast with friends and family from thegoodlifehawaii.com. Others have connected on Facebook and Twitter. This is made possible through our corporate sponsors. Mahalo to Wahiwa dentist Dr. Kerry Ishihara, Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry, Burt's Union Service Station on School Street, Michael Beasley of Kaiani, Fran Villarmia Kahawai of Properties International Limited, Chinen and Arinaga Financial Group Incorporated, L&S Marine Services Consultants, Arsina Kailihiva of Purium, and orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi. To find out how to become a corporate sponsor, click Partners at thegoodlifehawaii.com. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show, Hawaii's only local inspirational Christian talk show on 99.5 The Word. Weekdays at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight, providing opportunities to connect family and friends with Jesus Christ.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
He comes to Hawaii with his wife, Kilike, and they feel led to plant a church, to plant a church in Waikiki, because that's where a lot of the marginalized people in society are. He's drawn there because he sees in the scriptures that's where God moves among the marginalized and turns the people that you would think are least qualified into those who are qualified not because of what they've done themselves or what they have, but because of what God is able to do in their life. I'm speaking of R.K. Castillo, Pastor R.K. Castillo. You can find out more about him and his ministry at churchinwaikiki.org. That's churchinwaikiki.org. So R.K., you come, you get started, you have a team with you, you're going to plant this church. Before our break, you said the team left, and it seemed to me abrupt. I don't know, it might not have been, but what were the circumstances that led up to it?
Well, you know, we're trying to figure out, you know, what we're going to do, how we're going to do it, and the people that we assumed were going to help us just had, one of those meetings where, you know, guys, we just don't feel like we're going to help you. You know, we feel called to do something else, and, you know, that kind of thing. And so it was, you know, it was...
That must have been discouraging.
Very discouraging, you know. But at the same time, it was good because that meant that we could start from the ground up and build it up from there. And over the years, it's been a lot of ups and downs. But one of the main major values, I think, of the kingdom of God is faithfulness. And when you look at faithfulness, it's being loyal, it's being constant, it's being consistent, it's being obedient. And so we started meeting in a park under a tree, and for a number of months, it would just be me and my wife and my kids, and we would do church the same way we would do it if we were, you know, in with hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people, because we want to be faithful, consistent, loyal people. And we also started a pizza night every single Tuesday night for the last 4 years. 4 years last month, we've brought pizza down to the homeless, and it was specifically because the other ministries were feeding at least 4 years ago, they were feeding kind of nasty leftovers, moldy bread, this nasty split pea soup. And so we wanted to bring a dinner that was hot. It wasn't leftovers. It wasn't giveaway. It was a hot meal that they could look forward to every week. And so ever since then, we've been doing pizza. And so pizza night has continued to grow and grow and grow. We get a lot of people for that. But the church life has been discouraging at times, because what would happen is it would start to grow and grow and grow, and then it would go down to zero again. And then it would start to grow and grow and grow and grow and go down to zero again. And you just see these ebbs and flows. And what we realized about 3 years into it was that the homeless people are very clicky. And what would happen is we would start to get one click of homeless. And then since they're clicky, the other clicks, they won't interact with each other. Mm. And so this last year, we've been asking ourselves, well, how can we reach the different cliques of homeless? And instead of having to get them to come together, how can we reach them where they're at and encourage them that way?
You mentioned earlier that you had a vision to do discipleship, mm-hmm. that was something that God was speaking to you about. How do you do that with the homeless?
So the first thing is reaching them. And we believe in loving God, loving people, and making Jesus famous in Waikiki. That's kind of the three things that we focus on. And
when you say making Jesus famous, I've heard it. I understand what you mean. But explain for our listeners what that phrase means.
So I actually did a study, and I was studying word-of-mouth epidemics that when, you know, it's when ideas begin to spread like a virus, from a book called Tipping Point by Malcolm Gladwell. Mm-hmm. And so what I did is I went and I looked in the four Gospels in the book of Acts, and every single time it says news spread quickly or word about him spread quickly, because what you're seeing is a Jesus epidemic in action. And once I found the Jesus epidemics, I went and looked at, well, what caused the Jesus epidemic? 9 times out of 10, the Jesus epidemic happened as a direct result of a miracle or a sign and a wonder of some sort. So every pizza night on Tuesday night, I believe that the way to make Jesus famous is to demonstrate the power of God in some way or form to the people that come to eat pizza. So I decided, instead of preaching a 20-30 minute sermon that they have to listen to before they eat. I said, you know what? We're going to keep it short. I'm not going to preach a sermon. I'm going to heal the sick, and then we can eat some pizza. And so we get words of knowledge for healing every week. We pray and ask God what he wants to heal. They're lined up for pizza. I say, someone here, you have this problem. Another person, you have this problem. Who here has a problem? Raise your hand. They raise their hand, say, okay, these guys are here to pray for you. We have a team to pray for them, and say, grab your pizza. They're going to pray for you. And then we go on our way. And by doing that, we've seen miracles after miracles happen on Tuesday night under that pavilion. And I believe that that's key. If we can demonstrate the reality of the kingdom of God on the streets, mm-hmm. I think that that will cause news to spread about Jesus amongst the population down there.
We spoke earlier about, some of your favorite scripture verses, and one of them was Matthew 28, the heart of which says, Jesus says, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations. So going back to discipleship, in the context of what you're doing, RK, with these the demonstrations of the work of God in the lives of people, how do you and Kilike and the rest of your team moving about in going back to that discipleship development?
Yeah. So Matthew 28, it says disciple entire nations. Mm. And I ask God, well, how is that even possible? Can we even, as followers of Jesus, impact entire nations? And I fast forward to the end of the book, Revelation 21. It says entire nations are bringing their glory into the city of God. So somewhere between Matthew 28 and Revelation 21, it happens where nations begin to be reached. And I began to ask God specifically, well, what can we do to reach people, raise them up to be nation transformers? I actually was in India, and one of the guys that's leader of the largest church planting network in India said, you want me to send you guys one of our 100K guys? I said, yeah, cool. What's a 100K guy? And he said, oh, he's one of our guys that's baptized more than 100,000 people. And I said, oh, well, yeah, absolutely. Send him over. Right. So the guy came and hung out with us for a few days. And I was just sitting there picking his brain, asking him, what can we do to better reach the homeless? And he goes, you want to go do a Bible study? I said, yeah, absolutely. So we turn in our Bible, Luke chapter 10, verse 1 to 9, and he says, this is the foundation. These guys, just to backtrack a little bit, they felt called by God to give God 1 million baptisms in 1 year, and they were able to do it. And in India, a baptism is a big thing. Mm-hmm. You could pray a prayer and add Jesus to your shelf of gods. When you get baptized, that's when you really give up everything. You give up your name, you get a new name, everything. And so 1 million baptisms in 1 year. He says, you want to know how we did it? The foundation for everything that we do in our ministry to raise up disciples is Luke chapter 10, verse 1 to 9. And you look at it, really powerful, but really practical in how to do it. And so we say we're here to make Jesus famous in Waikiki. The way we do it is by doing Luke 10. In the couple minutes of the radio show, we probably couldn't go through it, but I did actually share the story in my book, and not to pitch my book, but it is in my book.
Talk about your book.
So the name of the book is Kingdom 24902, mm-hmm. and it's because the circumference of the earth is 24,902 miles. So it's how to take the kingdom of God to all the ends of the earth. And the last, it's not really even a chapter, it's like a section. It's a small little book. The last section is what I learned from sitting with this Indian pastor going through Luke 10, 1 to 9. And when you look at Luke 10 and Matthew 10, Luke 10, he's talking to 72 people. Matthew 10, he's talking to 12 people. But if you look at him, he says nearly line by line the same exact thing. So if we're going to reach out, reach people and disciple them and raise them up, the way Jesus called us to do ministry was by doing Luke 10 and Matthew 10.
Which was?
Got to read the book. No. Basically, they pray specifically for workers. Mm. So they're not trying to reach everyone. They're just trying to reach the worker. Because when you reach the worker, then you reach the worker. So they go in to a village looking for the person of peace. Because they know if they can find the person of peace, then they can reach the village. So they're going. And then the most powerful way to reach people, and then after that is to disciple them, is by eating with them. Jesus said, "You disciple nations by teaching them to obey the commands of Jesus." There's pretty much only one command that I found in the four Gospels that Jesus gave where he actually repeated it twice. In the Greek language, if you wanted to emphasize something, you would repeat it. Only one command gets repeated twice, and that's this. When you get to somewhere, eat with the people, and whenever they sit, before you eat with them. He says it in Luke 10. He actually repeats that command twice to eat with people. So the most powerful way to reach people is by sitting down and having a meal with them. So they go to a village, they prayer walk until someone opens a door for them and have a meal with them. And then they know they found the person of peace. Then it says to heal the sick who are there, and then to tell them the kingdom of God has come. So they demonstrate the reality of the kingdom. They tell them about Jesus. And then once they give their lives to Jesus, they say, well, the way that you're going to reach other people is by doing Luke 10. Let me teach you how to do this. And then they send people to do the same thing.
R.K. Castillo, what is the name of your book?
Again? Kingdom 24902.
Kingdom 24902. Someone wants to get it. How could they get it?
It's on Amazon. It's as a Kindle book or a regular book, you can order it.
Amazon.com. R.K. Castillo, he's explaining things that he has learned, things that he has studied, derived from Scripture, investigated, learned, and he's actually using it in the laboratory of his own life, his own ministry in Waikiki. That makes him cutting edge. He's doing it. He's applying it. And I would imagine, R.K., there's some things you tweak along the way as an investigator or an experimenter would do. I can't help but to think, dear brother, that the Lord looks down upon you, at least in my own mind's eye, that with the grace of the Lord that he has so given you, that there's a sparkle there for RK and for Kilike and for your family, for Kalena, Kiahi, and Roger. The grace of the Lord and his blessing is certainly upon you as you reach out to the marginalized, and in so doing, reaching the nations. So, brother, thank you. Thank you for coming today.
It's my pleasure.
Sharing your heart as you have. And dear one, as you have listened, I hope that you've been moved and encouraged as I have. I've learned a lot from R.K. Castillo today, and I hope you have too. You can find out more about him at churchinwaikiki.org. You know, God's timing is indeed perfect, and there's no better time than right now to share the love of Jesus with someone near you. Would you do it? Oh, I hope so. And look, if you haven't done so, this is the perfect moment for you to open your heart to Jesus Christ. Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com, click Get to Know Jesus. I've got a special presentation set up for you there. And to stand with us financially, make a donation, thegoodlifehawaii.com, click Partners. Matthew 13:44, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again. And then, in his own joy, went and sold all he had and bought that field. It's always a blessing to be with you. Special thank you to R.K. Castillo. Find out more at churchinwaikiki.org. Until next time, along with my technical producer, Chaz Ontai, guest coordinator, Jamie Lee Kwai, and web designer, Arlen Nagata, I'm Danny Yamashiro. Remember, the Lord is with you. Let him unleash your God-given purpose today.
Thank you for listening in on today's broadcast of The Good Life with host Danny Yamashiro. We hope that today's program has been a blessing for you. The Good Life radio program is listener supported, and we'd like to encourage you to pray about becoming a sponsor or donor. Your support makes it possible for us to continue to minister to God's people through The Good Life. To become a sponsor or to make a donation, please visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. That's thegoodlifehawaii.org. And may God richly bless you with The Good Life.